Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Bits Layton, host of the show, spirit of bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it. Thank you for joining us on Comedy Arcade. For the people that haven't listened to it before, I mean, where have you been? But I also realistically accept that's probably most people, so I will explain the rules. I have a bingo ball full of random topics, and they really are random, and they're deliberately vague. I have three comedians that are going to vie to tell the best story, sing the best song, throw their best friend under the bus, whatever they want to do. Points rewarded by me based on a scoring system that I don't understand. So it's just how I feel on the day. So, with that in mind, I am open to be bought. And I am also not above taking away points if I'm annoyed with you. So just keep that in mind.
Right. Do you respond better to like sort of flattery and bribery or like kind of threats and coercion?
I guess we can find out.
Yeah, okay. Well, they're both available.
Is it a good time to point out that I did legend that burgundy Sharpie?
You did. And it is a very nice Sharpie.
You can keep it.
It's going in my bag. Yes, so I was going to do introductions, but you've started to introduce yourself. I've already lost control of this situation. Right, just some quick housekeeping. You will have three cards in front of you. You, my guest, not you at home, unless you have got three cards. That would be a really good coincidence. I expect it's not true. The comedians in the studio, you have three cards in front of you that you can play to attempt to influence the game. If you have a brilliant story, you can play the double or nothing card before you say it. If I agree, I'll double your points. If I don't agree, your points will go to somebody else.
Ooh,
I know, it's exciting.
That's risky.
If you don't like the topic, you can call new balls. Or if someone looks particularly excited about the topic, again, call new balls. And we don't talk about it again. Tough luck. We don't get to hear that story. Wow. Or on the penultimate round, you can play Fruit Machine. If you think you've had a shocker, we jumble up everybody's scores and you could come out with a better score, a worse score, or your own one back. Which has happened surprisingly regularly. And usually the people that play Fruit Machine are already in front. I'm like, what are you doing? So with that in mind, right, let's introduce our guests. Next to me, I have the fabulous, cool Jos Norris.
Thanks. Very kind. Why cool?
Because I couldn't think of any
other
way
it's
to
just a word.
No,
that's really kind. Thanks. Wow.
He's wearing a really fetching red turtleneck.
I went through a phase about 2 years ago where I decided I was going to wear them more. And then I got through that phase, but I'm at the end of a laundry run. So it's just what I'm wearing today.
You didn't really commit to the bit like Tom Parry.
No. Well, I did for about 6 months. It was sort of what I wore a lot. And then I realised that it has... They do a lot for my confidence, but I think they come with a sort of a lot of baggage. Yeah.
They make you mysterious because you're hiding parts of your neck.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know why I get such a kind of a boost from that. I feel like it's quite nice to hold part of yourself in reserve.
Are you really scared of vampires?
Yeah, that as well.
Or a slight chill.
Yeah, this and then a big scarf and then I'll grow a bigger beard.
And you can use it for corona times. You can fold it up and use it.
Yeah, it makes a good face mask these days. I was planning ahead, actually. I knew what I was doing.
Why didn't you tell us all?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. I just thought it'd be fun for everyone to find out in the moment. Didn't want to spoil the fun of this year. It's been so great.
I mean, we will remember it.
Yeah.
Sticking with describing how people are dressed, we've got Tom Tuck next, who is wearing pink on pink, which it takes a real man to wear two shades of pink, I think. Yeah. I'm into it.
It's trying to get them as close as possible, actually.
Was that always a pink shirt, or has it been in a funny wash?
Because no,
it is a pink shirt.
It has faded slightly.
The baby pink shades.
Yeah, on the inside. Yeah. It's nice, yeah.
For the listeners at home, baby pink. Baby pink on baby pink.
You've got a real wedding vibe. I like this.
I did buy this tie for a wedding. Yeah. Originally. I wore a different shirt, but yeah, right. I did buy the tie for a wedding. It came with a handkerchief that I have lost.
Did you wear that to the wedding as well?
Yes, popped in the top pocket.
Did people comment and go, lovely tie, hanky combo?
They said, you really look like you've come to a wedding. I have come to a wedding.
Every man's profile picture. Either it looks like a mugshot or it's a man at a wedding. Like, it's the only two speeds you've got.
I used the one after just come off stage, having played Jesus. it was the final night of the run, and so we just used all the blood. Absolutely drenched.
Yeah, that's never making it onto any of my posters.
Oh, no, it's a really bad, but I use that on Facebook.
To ward people off? Yeah. And then, you've got to really want to add it.
I put a picture of my first communion as the next.
And rounding out this holy trinity of nonsense is the fabulous Resplendent in Stripes.
Thank you. I'm going for a rainbow presenter look. That's what I'm going
Not for. Not French thief.
Maybe at a weekend.
You always know what kind of show it is. It's like 10 minutes in and we still haven't got through who everybody is. Right, let's crack on. Hey, let's play with the balls.
I like that this is for real, because you could fake this. This could be a sound effect.
No, I actually have done it. I bought this off Amazon, and my husband said, what are you going to use that for? Joke's on him, isn't it?
Yes. Deductible now.
Yeah.
For a very expensive vanity project is the answer that I would give him. Right, we're going to go with number 16, Drunk Behaviour.
Oh, I'm just going
just
through
contemplating
the catalogue.
Which one.
I've got a photo, and I don't know how we got this drunk, but I was with Marek Larwood, and I don't know why we thought this was a good idea, but I've got my top off, and he has drawn E.T. on my torso, but with my eyes as the nipples. I don't know what series of things we could have thought that got us to that point.
Had he drawn it well?
Oh no, just in a biro, and it really hurts. Scratched, gouged.
Biro's horrid.
Yeah.
And not very visible. That's why. Does it show up well on the picture?
I'll show you in a bit. and then he's drawn a cock on my shoulder.
Right.
Of course
fair
he
enough.
Has. Oh, yeah.
Do you reckon that emerged from some kind of... Did he think that your chest looked like E.T. and he was trying to exaggerate a resemblance?
I didn't have my chest out at the time.
Oh, okay.
He just got a feeling.
Were you just trying to phone home?
I've been at the fringe too long.
Where was his finger? Did he do a finger? Or was it just the face?
What, no, E.T.?
Did he do the rest of the
drawing? Yeah.
I don't recall there being a finger.
Okay, just a portrait.
Just a portrait.
Nice. Show us on the doll.
Well, see, yes, Marek fingered me. That's why I carry Sharpies around now, because the buyer is so painful. Anyone who detags themselves on Facebook in anything needs a slap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because no one cares. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
You can't curate things that carefully. People are going to see you in life.
I disagree.
Okay, men who detag themselves, I think women have it tougher.
What I get worried about is, especially if it's a picture of a gig and I've been tagged on a picture, genuinely, it's me with a microphone looking like a walrus being electrocuted. It's always the most unflattering angle. And you just like, what was the process? Oh, like, here's a moment, growing, you will want to remember. Startled while farting. That really sums up her comedy persona. So I'll tag this because you might want to use it for press reasons. So annoys me.
I've thought of something. Am I going to throw this person under the bus? No. Another comedian.
Yes.
we play wine top trumps.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Oh, fuck, it's Greg McHugh. So we'll go out and
get
we'll
an extra point for that. I like that.
and we'll try and just outdo each other by buying glasses of wine.
Right.
So, like.
And they each have a different category, like a top trump.
No.
Redness.
It's always white wine with us, actually.
Oh, okay.
Always white wine with us. But it got really, really out of hand when we were like just stalking the streets of Soho to find anywhere else that was open. This like thumping nightclub that would sell us only do wine by the bottle.
A version of wine in those places, but it's not right.
We were in the corner, only by the bottle. So I got quite a nice sangsaire. And then he went, because he's quite successful. The next one, he went to Champagne. It's like, where have I gone? How am I going to go from here?
You have to go niche, don't you? You can't.
Pick boule de pinique.
My drunk story involves star of. What was that problem you were talking about? Lost in Paradise.
Death in Paradise.
Death Paradise.
Has it got someone from Death in Paradise
Chris
in it?
Chris Marshall.
No way. He's the best detective.
Well, I can't.
According to popular opinion,
he's my nemesis.
Really?
He's my nemesis off the back of the story.
Were you going to get that BT advert?
I was going to say.
So embarrassing.
That would have been quite progressive, wouldn't it?
It's genuinely one of the most embarrassing. So what had happened was I just moved to London and I was, this is so embarrassing. I was working as, like selling programmes and ice cream in the Almeida. He was on in a play called The Hypochondriac.
Right.
He was in it.
Is it Molière?
That's the chap, old Molière. And old Molly.
That means something different.
There was a Christmas party, and in there's the spirit of theatre, we're all best pals. The people, the ushers, we are all invited to the party. There is a free bar. I got absolutely hammered.
Oh, I've just remembered a birth story.
Told everybody that I wrote for Private Eye. That I was really good friends with Ian Hislop.
Oh my God.
And these were lies or was
is
that
this
true?
You telling us now.
And then I started having a go at Chris Marshall, telling him that he was a show off and he was trying too hard and he wasn't as funny as he thought he was.
Oh,
wow.
My story's very similar.
He's the star of the play. I am an usher. I said, stop.
Yeah,
you try too hard. You're not as funny as you think you are, right? I very quickly get bundled into a taxi. The taxi drops me home. I have no money at all. So I try and pay for this taxi with my CD Walkman.
It's contactless.
Weirdly enough, this taxi driver does not accept CD Walkmans as payment.
No. What year was this?
Yeah, why did you have one on you?
Why did you have a Discman in 2008? Something like this.
I was holding on.
Looking after for friends.
Then the taxi driver drives me back. They thought they'd gotten rid of me.
Back
he
to
drives
the party.
Me back to the party. Oh. And Chris Marshall has to pay.
Whenever I see him,
I'm like, oh God, he's still famous. I want his career to end just so I don't see his face.
So you're not reminded.
Oh. You know the BBC radio party, Christmas party?
Yeah.
Do some work on the radio about once a year. They let me on.
You still get to go to the party because you dress well and you're a great value.
Yeah. Nowadays I am. Because I'm relatively sensible because one time I was not.
What did you do?
I drank so much of free boozies. And, first I fell at Barry Cryer's feet.
We are not worthy.
Then I tried to jump on Josie Long's back and I missed and fell down half a flight of stairs.
Ooh. Did you injure yourself?
No, but I know I need to tell you why it was so bad. It's because...
So it wasn't jumping on Josie Long's back or falling at Barry Cryer's feet. That wasn't what was bad about this story.
No.
This is
no,
just
no,
preamble.
Those things were fine.
The reason it got so bad is because I'd got out for a fag and Arthur Smith, who's had to stop drinking, otherwise he'll die, was having a joint. Because that's not going to affect his liver in the same way.
Fair.
And he just, you know, offered me a drag. And I just didn't take into account that because he doesn't drink, his joints are pretty strong. And then I went back and had more free booze and told Chris Addison lab rats were shit to his face.
Oh, that's a shame.
Did he ask for your opinion?
No!
Okay.
And then
did you say it was the shit?
No.
Because then it could have gone.
No, very much.
I saw him like 2-3 weeks later, and it was at Karaoke Circus when it was still in that basement. And I think I've got to go and apologise. And he said, "It's all right. Not many people are honest with you." And he just seemed really disappointed.
Oh, he's got that vibe about him.
Such a nice man. What a nice guy.
Have
you seen him since? Have you patched it up? Or is that the last?
Yeah, I've seen him a few times.
Oh, great. So you didn't
ruin
it.
Grudge. Yeah,
no. Whereas you and Chris Marshall are... That's burnt,
don't know.
Right?
I don't know. I owe him like 20 quid.
Still can't get over the disc, man.
Why would you take it? This is legal tender.
How good was it? Did it have a bass boost?
Anti-roll.
Oh, yo. Yeah.
Did you have a drunk story?
My drunk behaviour is all quite sort of... I struggle to think of anything particular that I've done. And then the one time that I passed out and did something interesting, nobody would tell me what it was. It happened in Edinburgh in 2018.
I'm kind of into that.
I kept thinking about this over and over again to be like, there has to be a story in there because no one will tell me. I went to someone's birthday party and drank a lot on an empty stomach and then wandered back to the bus. There's this big double-decker bus in Edinburgh that turns into a bar. And then stopped there and joined another group of people that I was seeing. And that's when I stopped remembering things. And then the next morning, a video had gone round of Gareth Moranan finding me curled up in a toilet in a block of flats. I think not my block of flats, the block of flats where he was staying. And I often, when I get drunk on red wine specifically, I curl up in a toilet next to it with a blanket round me, because I think it's nice to have a toilet nearby in case I'm going to be sick. I don't necessarily feel like I'm going to be. So that video had gone round in the morning, and I then had to retrace my steps and talk to everybody. And I found my agent, and I found the other people that I remember seeing at some point, and they all went, "You were really fun. You did some stuff that was really fun." And I kept trying to ask them what it was, and nobody would tell me. So I drilled down into this to try and work out what behaviour it was. But
is to find out.
Oh, I won't tell him.
Yeah, you were probably there.
Will you tell me?
you reminded me of another thing I did.
Oh, no, Ed Miliband was involved. I remember he was in the night at some point. Because he's sometimes round Edinburgh. And I remember he popped up at some point in that evening.
If it was during the book festival.
Yeah, it must have been towards the end. And I think he walked past. I have no idea if I did something with him or to him, or if I just commented on the fact that he was nearby because I was excited. But I've no idea. I've no idea what I did.
Did you drink an appropriate amount for this level of drunk?
I drank 3 beers and a glass of wine. But
so
I think I was not at all. I think I was just really excited.
Spiked?
Yeah, I think possibly.
Actually, did Ed Miliband roofie you? You got roofied by Ed Miliband.
This is a really sad, dark story.
Yeah, is this a comedy story, or are we finding out that a crime happened together?
The last thing you remember, Ed passing you a
just
drink.
Just walking
and
past,
that's it.
And we go, "Yeah, this seems fine." And woke up in somebody else's toilet. Really funny. There were funny videos of it. It was great. But nobody will tell me what happened. Absolutely horrible.
One year at Edinburgh, I had... I always hand-make my flyers, but I get a stamp for the details and just do that, do 20 of those, and then draw on them. And I had made a mistake on my stamp.
Oh,
so it said the show was going one day longer than the venue thought. And the people were like, "No, we're not even open that day." I'm like, "Oh, no." Loads of people have said they're coming on the last day because their shows aren't on. That's probably why my show isn't supposed to be on.
Oh, it's finished.
Yeah, the free fringe had stopped.
Did you do the show? Did you still put it on?
So I met them outside the venue, which was resolutely shut, with 2 bottles of wine, a bottle of whiskey, Yeah, and no, two bottles of wine and a bottle of whiskey. And then I just walked people to, you know, the end of where Cowgate meets Grassmarket.
Oh, yeah,
there
yeah.
was an empty space there for ages.
Yeah.
Everyone just sat around there. And then someone said, do you mind if I roll a joint? Fine. I mean, what the hell's going on?
No, it's not my venue.
It's good to have Arthur Smith in, though.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
But the thing was, that gave me... I was just on such a high. I thought, oh, you know what? I'll do my other show later in the underpass.
Right.
And I haven't got a guitar, so I borrowed Jay Foreman's guitar. Oh. If you don't know Jay Foreman, he's a musical comedian. He needs that guitar.
Yeah, it's
what
vital,
did you do to
really?
It?
Turns out I gave it to the noise next door and they said they'd get it back to him. But I did not know when I woke up.
Oh, my God. So you woke up like,
just woke up like that's
no guitar?
Gone.
No guitar and a text from Jay. Oh, no. I think I've stolen a livelihood.
God. But he did get it back.
He did get it back, yeah. But he was panicked.
Did you hear about Bob Dylan leaving his guitar on the plane like a couple of years ago?
No.
Somebody, it turned out in the 60s, Bob Dylan had left his guitar on the plane and somebody had found it and held on to it for years and then 40 years later was hard up for cash and decided to sell Bob Dylan's guitar. And Bob Dylan was furious about it and tried to buy it back and demanded that he return it and that it was his property. I think... if you're Bob Dylan and you've managed to get through that
years.
Time without needing that specific guitar, I think you should let
why
it go.
Why don't you just swap it? Here's the one I don't like as much, but it is still my guitar.
Yeah.
So then you'd have Bob Dylan's guitar to sell.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
wins. Yeah,
yeah, presumably.
He was just being petty, though. I bet he didn't yeah. want it, really. It was just pettiness, and I respect that. I love a petty. Right, almost.
Well, they were in the Wilburys together.
We're still on ball number
very
one.
Very good, actually.
We are still on
very
ball number
good.
One.
Come on.
Go in again.
Are you so jaded you can't appreciate a dumb petty joke?
We're free balling. No, sorry, it's too far.
Right, things that you know that are a mental waste of space. So
everything.
Yeah, life.
Okay, double or nothing because Ooh. This is so
Ooh.
Pointless.
All right, I'm ready.
I know every international footballer who has got repeated initials and more than 50 international caps.
How many footballers is that?
Well, I think there are 19 letters which you can do it with.
Okay. You're confident this is a comedy zinger, are you?
No, this really, really, really fills the brief of being a complete waste of mental space.
It also has to entertain me, though. And you could say anything, and I go,
Kim Kjellstrom, Kevin Keegan, Kevin Kilban, and who's the fourth? Oh, it doesn't matter.
You've just gone all...
Well, I've
just
failed now, haven't I? But
you've just gone balls out.
None
I
of
know
you
all
like
of
football,
this information.
No, none of you like football.
You could
just say
it's
names.
Really, it's really
what are we doing
difficult.
Saying any name with two Ks in it? Kevin Klein.
Kevin Klein didn't get 50 international caps at football.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes,
how
he did.
Know?
He's great.
Yeah.
Kevin Klein's fantastic. Of course he got 50 caps of football.
Casey Keller did get 50 caps for America, I think.
Okay.
This
Fair
is
enough.
Not, this isn't jokes, this is just information.
So Ali Alhabsi, Alvaro Albala, Billy Bremner.
What about Roy Rean?
She made someone up.
Or
there's two.
Riggs. How's Ryan Riggs?
He definitely got more than 50 caps.
Martin McMichael. What about him?
David Deckham.
Schmieter Schmeichel. He's my favourite. I love
he's
Peter
so
Schmeichel.
He's so
I think
good.
About Peter Schmeichel all the time. And
like
I don't
son?
Like football. I didn't know he had a son.
Kasper Schmeichel. He plays in goal for Leicester when
it's
they won
not
the title.
As good a name, Kasper Schmeichel.
Peter Schmeichel. Just information. Just information.
Yeah.
Why do you love Peter Schmeichel so much?
I really liked football up until I was five because my brother liked football. And I had a poster of Man U, which is Man United, apparently.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you're wearing red again today?
Yeah, it's bits of it have lodged. But then we went to see a football... I was going to say gig. We went to see a live football gig.
A live show.
One of their live shows that they do.
Because they do it like sketch comedy. There's like really big.
Well, no, it's more like a play because there's two halves.
Yeah. It's like long form. It's like long form improv.
Yeah.
And there's like specific like rules and stuff. Like it's always basically the same kind of.
But they don't take suggestions from the crowd. They ignore.
Well,
no.
The
it doesn't stop
them
trying.
Give suggestions all the time.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, it's quite bad form for improv. Actually, they just like screen them out. Anyway, we went to see that, and I remember finding it very cold. And my dad had brought a type of biscuit that I didn't like. It was like a ginger chocolate biscuit. And I didn't like them. And we were sat in the wrong stands. So we had to cheer when the team we liked lost a goal and boo when they scored, which I found confusing because I was five. So I decided I didn't like football anymore. But the only
quality
bit
of biscuit.
Yeah, it just put me off. That show really like ruined it for me. But the only bit of liking football that has stayed in my head is Peter Schmeichel's face, and I see it all the time.
Big sort of drunkard red nose.
Yes, that was the thing I liked. He had a big red nose.
He looks like a cartoon.
Yeah.
So you see it all the time in your head?
In my head, oh yeah. Not
yeah,
still, like, still Googling. Still get your poster up. Google images and look at it.
Calls round to your house going, why do you not like football anymore?
Yeah. Well, you're like, it's the ginger nut biscuit.
Thing is, if you knew the Man United squad now, you could have got Paul Pogba.
Oh.
If you like Australian football, you could like Paul Pesky Solitaire.
I mean, I'm going to have to give your like paltry 2 points, Jos, because
it just
wasn't very funny. It did fulfil the brief, but I liked yours better.
Yeah, I used to really go in for it. Didn't last. Shame.
I liked football. I had a team because I thought it'd be another string to my personality bow.
Yeah,
something to talk to men about. You know, male comedy, lots of men everywhere, so it'd be great to speak a little bit of their language. So I supported Tottenham Hotspur.
Okay.
I've heard of them.
Fact, another boring fact. The only club in the top 92 clubs named after a person.
Ah.
Harry Hotspur.
Oh, I was going to say, it's Mr. Tottenham.
Yes, it's Alan Tottenham.
Called Tottenham Spurs.
Man United is named after a person.
Mr. Manchester.
No, like man.
A-man.
Any man. Man City, that's named after
specific
a man.
Person, sorry.
That's every city.
Yeah.
But I couldn't handle it. I could, because at the, I thought, right, I can either be a member of the Labour Party or a fan of Tottenham Hotspur. I couldn't handle both constant disappointment in my life at the same time. I had to pick a side. So I was like, okay, Labour probably long term. Both problematic history with Jewish people. I had to just pick Labour, so I went for them.
So I'm stuck. Yeah, I went through a phase of going to the Super Bowl every year and pretending I liked American football. And me and my friend
going to it. Like
not,
in America?
Not actually, no, just to the parties. Right. For the same reason, to have something to talk to men about. Mm-hmm. And women didn't know about this. We were like early adopters of this phenomenon. So we'd learn 5 facts each about each team. That's all we knew. And that's all men needed to hear to think we knew about it.
Here's my okay.
Like fish in a barrel.
Ask me about any game. Say to me, Gronit, did you watch the game last night?
Did you watch the game before that, the friendly?
You had one job to deliver one line.
Do you know what I did? And do you know what? This is any, and so you can use this for any watching, talking about any football game. You just go, do you know what? If anything, I thought the teams were too respectful of each other.
Nice.
Too respectful.
There's another one you can use because I think they still need something in the middle of the park.
Yeah. They created opportunities, but they didn't know how to finish them. And I think they need a little bit more leadership.
I'd just say, I missed it. Didn't watch it. Sorry. Was it good? But then you lose their respect quite quickly if you do that. Shame.
Right, onwards. 2 balls. But we're learning, aren't we? We're learning a lot about each other. And that is fine. Right. Let's move that ball out of the way. I'm just enjoying doing this now.
Me too.
I was going to say,
It's ASMR, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really nice. All right, 14 is worst jobs.
Oh.
And it can be like the worst job you've ever had or the worst job you've ever done. Like, there's a lot of flex in it.
So this is genuinely the worst. Honestly, I have shame showers just thinking about it. It's so embarrassing. It's so bad.
But there's the ones where you stay in too long and cry.
honest to God, it's so bad. You're all going to lose all respect for me.
I can't wait.
So I was a temp, but I was the worst temp. I was worst temp. Gigging at night time on about 4 hours sleep. I was temping at Cancer Research UK.
Oh.
I was a PA for this head guy in cancer research. Like, he's like the top guy, you know, probably on the brink of solving cancer. And he had this Rolodex with all his contacts that he had, you know, got together after decades of working to fight cancer. My very first day, I threw it out.
Yeah, that is you doing a shit job.
That's very bad. Why?
Because in my head, I just thought, oh, there's all this sort of rubbish on the desk. I'm going to clear. And I was like hallucinating.
It's like the only copy of it, right? It's paper copy. There's no backups.
And he was so polite and so lovely. I said, oh, I think the lady before chucked it out because it wasn't here. He said, but she wouldn't do that. She's worked here for 20 years. She knows how important that role is. So now whenever
was she happy to leave? Like, just start this whole thing about this rumour that she's taking a petty revenge.
So now whenever I see ads to give money to Cancer Research UK, I'm like, I really have to subscribe. I think I set the cause back by 20 years.
God.
I mean, so that's bad. That's his poor choice of staff.
Yeah, he should have made a backup, really.
Well, I was thinking of it in the other way of the worst job. I mean, it's quite similar in a way.
What, incompetent?
It was basically a door-to-door chugger.
Charity. Oh, yeah.
The worst ones. Going to people's houses.
I hate those.
You're a monster.
Well, it was so hard. Like, walking around Mytheroyd and Todmorden.
They're made up.
Were they quite rough areas?
Mytheroyd,
yeah, and Todmorden.
Sounds like a part of the body.
I think you're just...
How many cats,
anti-Northern.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
If they don't have 50 cats, we don't know about them.
Well, no, so Mytheroyd and Todmorden are these sort of mad towns. And weirdest one, someone let me in, and the biggest dog I ever seen, the kitten sitting on its head. They're very odd towns. They're sort of like the West Yorkshire hippies. That's where they ended up. I think there's more lesbian. Oh no, that's Hebden Bridge. There's more lesbians in Hebden Bridge than there are in Birmingham because they all moved there together in the 70s for no reason.
Was there a census done, or is that
very
like
cheap property? It's anecdotal. But I hated this job because it was, you know,
is it a specific charity or they assign you random ones?
No, you had like four or five.
Right.
I learned like stuff like sales techniques and stuff and sort of the weird things, but it was just soul destroying, and you knew it was a pain in the ass for everyone you were bothering. So I quit, and it wasn't on a fixed term contract. I was like, I'm not coming.
Was it commission?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason I quit is because we'd invented a new variant of Monopoly, and we were in the middle of a game. I was like, I am not going to bed to get up for this job I fucking hate. The variant of Monopoly, by the way, is really fun. You get two. You need a local one, any British local one, and the London one. And you put the Go squares together like that.
Ooh.
And you start on the local one.
And then you go to London to seek your fortune.
When you pass Go, and you hold a full set, or... And this is after vigorous playtesting. There are fewer properties available to buy than there are players in the game.
Right.
Then you can go
as
into London
magnate,
where prices are doubled. All prices. So the rent you have to pay, the rent other people have to pay. So you can try and be a magnate in the north. You can go try and make it in the south. And it's really fun.
That's great. That's really good. That, actually.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
It's a multiplopoly.
You've just described the London property market.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a capitalist game. I invented another one with Dave Reed, But we never... You need a glass coffee table to play.
Right.
Where you have two and they're on top of each other. And on top is the just play normally. But down below are the mafia people who are trying to extort money from above. So if you're in the set below, you can extort.
You're very busy, Tom.
Yeah.
That was at uni, come on.
Yeah, fair enough. My worst job was that I ended up being the deputy head of a fraudulent higher education college for French people studying advertising.
Sorry, I recognise all the words as English, but not together.
I was a temp in a London college, and then they ran out of things for me to do, and they said, oh, there's this woman on the eighth floor who's just renting office space from her. Do you want to go and see if she wants you to do anything? I went up there, and it was a French former TV presenter who had come to London to set up a UK branch of a network of French advertising colleges. She was doing it on her own, but had only ever been a TV presenter and needed some help, and said, do you want to basically run it? You can name your fee. I was about 21, so I just said, £20 an hour. And she said, yep, you can do that. And then I ran... We'd sort of sold master's degrees to French students, but I was told we had to call it a master degree because legally we weren't allowed to call it a master's degree because it hadn't been certified by any educational body. And we charged... I wonder if I should be talking about this. Apparently it was certified by the French state. It was like legal in France, and they got this qualification that supposedly enabled them to work in the communications industry. But I was literally just a temp who tried to figure out how to do it, and I had to call up failing businessmen and then get them to come in and do lectures and then examine them. And then at the end of the year, they'd get a printout of an Excel spreadsheet that said, well done, here's your master's degree. And we had a little stamp that said master's degree, verified by the French state on the stamp, and we'd stamp it with that. And then after I'd been there for 6 months, she said, we have to stop using that stamp. I've been told that we can't say that anymore. And I never really found out what was going on. She often didn't turn up. She was supposed to be running it, but sometimes I'd be there trying to run the thing, and then she'd call up and go, there was a fire alarm in my building last night and I'm drunk now, so I can't come in today. And I go, okay, I'll just try and run this college then. And I was, and there were all these people who worked for like Ogilvy and big advertising corporations who came in, and there was
now.
Just this 22-year-old boy in a suit that was too big because she bought me a suit because I didn't own one. I didn't own a suit.
This is starting to feel
so
like
she bought
not
me this,
okay.
this huge suit, and then I would just be standing there going, "Hello, welcome to our college. Thank you for teaching the students. They're just through there. Can I turn on your computer or anything?" And they go, "No, I know how to turn on a computer." And then I would sit and play a computer game called Cactus McCoy, where you're a cactus who runs through the desert.
Oh,
and
then
occasionally, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Then occasionally they'd pop in and go, can I borrow a whiteboard marker? And I'd say, yeah, there you go. And that was it. That was my job for about a year and a half. I feel terrible about it.
So were you like the dean?
I was, she said, I don't really understand what you are. I'm supposed to be running it, but I want you to do all the stuff.
How do you even put this on a CV?
So yeah, it's never been useful to me. It could be really useful because I ran a college. So I said my title will be operations coordinator. Ooh, and that was what I called myself.
I think you could use that on an Edinburgh poster.
Yeah.
I don't really understand what you are.
Why are you here? Who are you?
It was terrible. One of our lecturers lost all his hair to stress because he hated it so much.
The stress of the imaginary job.
Yeah, he kept turning up and just the woman running it was a nightmare, so all his hair fell out. It was horrible.
Harrowing.
It's really horrible. She kept saying that we had to deduct pupils' attendance grades if anybody they knew died. Like if they ever asked for time off because someone had died, then we had to knock 10% off their grades. And I kept saying, we can't do that. We have to let them go to funerals. And she went, no. She said, not for grandparents. Maybe for a parent, but not for grandparents.
You could write a sitcom about this. Or
mad.
Even some kind of gritty British drama.
Yeah, something quite harrowing. Yeah. That was my worst job.
Yeah. This is comedy, okay. Right, this is the last round, unbelievably. So if anybody's wondering if they want to play the fruit machine, you've all had quite a strong game, though. So
I don't know. I think I've really messed it up with the football thing. So fruit machine.
I mean, it was it was a skill, Tom, but it was
it was impressive. I was impressed.
Quite.
I just
boring.
Didn't know any of the names you were saying, so you could have been making
it
them up.
It was a crap. You know, it was
Mario Melchiot, Mario Mandzukic,
Mario Milkshot,
Melchiot.
Oh,
I think you're anti Holland now.
Doubling down on this, are you? Can you carry on with this?
Nuruddin Nabet.
Roy of the Rangers. Is that somebody?
Yes, but his name is not of the Rovers.
This was Roy of the Rovers, that's it.
This is not successful for you the first time, Tom, and it's not going to be something. Stop trying to make this happen.
Who was it in the Beano that was good at football? Did he have an alliterating name? Someone in the Beano always played football.
I don't know.
Billy Ball. No.
Incredibly, Billy Ball.
Is that real?
Yeah.
There's a footballer called Billy Ball.
No, all right.
Okay. Oh, my God.
He never stood a chance, did he?
I was totally bought in. I was like, is he?
Yeah,
no. Right, come on. Right. Producer Rich, can you give me a number between 1 and 3? Ah, Joss, you've got Cronius points now.
Ooh.
What's the next number? Tom, you've got Joss's points.
Ooh.
I think that French college store.
Right, but you still don't know. Maybe one of you
is
better than the other. But one way or the other, you're not playing for your own scores this time round. Okay. As we spin the wheel again. And it's number one, inappropriate crushes.
New balls.
Ooh.
I'm going to do new balls.
Is it because we're here in the room?
He has been looking at Tom with heart.
Yeah.
To take it home so we can get out of this room. Number 8, most competitive moments.
Ooh. Can I do a double or nothing on this?
Ooh, it's exciting. We played all the cards in the last round. Ooh, this has never happened before. Go on.
Have a competitive moment story that was... I a friend of mine is a teacher, and she got me in... She's
a
drama
teacher.
In a real school.
She got her job. Marketing college.
She earned this job and did it properly. She's a drama teacher, and she was directing a production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and booked me to come in and do a workshop in close-up magic for the Oompa Loompas, because I used to do close-up magic for babies. So she got me in.
Isn't that quite easy?
Yeah, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing.
You can't even see.
You just make things disappear. You hold it up and then put it behind your back and go, wow!
I've got your nose.
I was going to teach her kids to do that. But it was like a double session. So the first session was just going to be her doing a normal drama workshop, and then the second half was going to be me teaching them how to do close-up magic. And she introduced me at the start of the first one and said, this is my friend Joss, he's a comedian and performer, he's going to be teaching you magic. And they said, tell us a joke. And I said, I can't do that because I'm not that kind of... I'm one of those disappointing comedians where I don't really know jokes, I just do silly things, so I can't tell you a joke. And then the kid went, well, if you don't know any jokes, then you shouldn't tell new people that you're a comedian. And I felt quite hurt. And I thought, right, at some point in this first session, I'm going to do something very funny and silly to show that I'm a good comedian. And I thought, I'll just wait and figure out what it's going to be. And then my friend started the session by turning the lights off and putting on some ambient music and doing like a guided meditation thing to help them tune into their bodies and stuff so they can do some movement work. And I thought, what I'll do is during this darkness, I will start to cry. And then when she turns the lights on, I'll pretend that I found the meditation so moving that it moved me to tears, and I'll do a big sort of bit and be like, oh, that was so powerful, it's amazing, and I'll be very silly and the kids will laugh and they'll realise I'm a good comedian. So she turned the lights off, I was doing this meditation and I made myself cry and really went for it. I got big sort of fat tears rolling down my cheeks, and just as she was then continuing the lesson, she just turned the lights on very quickly and then moved on with the lesson and went, right, so last week we were talking about movement stuff. I just had to very quickly clean my face and wipe tears away. And I think a lot of them saw me. I think a lot of them saw the lights turn on and then saw the comedian sat in the corner weeping and going,
he's a bad comedian.
They asked them all, why is the comedian crying in the corner of the room? And I never got to... And then half an hour later, I tried to go, right, magic! Let's do some magic! And I have no idea whether I brought any sort of value to those kids, but that's the stupidest competitive thing I've done.
Made yourself cry.
Yeah, to try and prove...
No value add
prove to some kids that I might be funny.
The tears were real.
yeah, eventually.
This must have been like 2008 or something. My sketch group, Penny Dreadfuls and Pappies, who are very good and very good friends, we decided to have a fake rivalry. And it just really backfired because every time we got interviewed or did something, those bastards. There's absolute bastards in Pappies, and Pappies would do the same. Oh, we hate those guys. The only time we got mentioned was seriously. What have we done? We just come off looking like idiots.
Separate fandoms meeting in the streets, like rioting.
So dumb.
Is it East Side, West Side?
So gang signs aren't great on podcasts, are they?
No.
That's just blood.
How do you do
Penny Dreadfuls in a finger?
Did we or Clang have to come in and try and broker peace?
Get into it.
Actually, the reason we decided to do it is because we were on a panel show the previous year, Us Versus Them, and we kind of roasted each other, and Dave called them S. Clang Juniors, which is one of the funniest jokes of all time. And then Tom took his top off and threw their table at us.
And then you took your top off.
It's just 3 o'clock in the afternoon with Mark Olver in between us going, stop it.
He's not worth it. He's not worth it.
And so we thought, some of the people who saw that, we'll big it up next year as a plan. And so stupid.
Just went quite badly wrong. PR doesn't always work.
I feel I'm the most uncompetitive person. I feel like I should be more competitive. But I remember.
Come on.
This is my competition.
Come on.
I remember I was about 9, and I was at a football match, but a proper football match, not soccer.
You mean
a football gig. And Meath were playing, and I was like, come on, Meath. Oh my God, I just want Meath to win. And suddenly I've heard my voice in my head going, I mean, this doesn't matter. You could just leave. This horrible feeling you're feeling at the moment in your body, you could leave and like get a can of Coke. And this is no excitement. I got up from the football stage and just left. About 5 minutes left of the game, I was like, I can be free.
What do you like at Scrabble? Do you care about that?
Flip the board.
No.
I'm a board flipper.
I hate Scrabble. Awful game. Scrabble.
Brilliant game. I'd say that because I'm really good at it. Excessively competitive at that as well.
I
beat my brother and mother, but had more points than them combined, and then my brother's
20 years ago, and you're still talking about it.
Two Christmases ago, and since then, Sam hasn't refused to play Scrabble.
That's not better. Right, I'm going to toss up the scores. I know. It's, you were, yeah.
Should we create some dramatic tension?
I think, yeah, you should.
How'd you do that?
Or you could just tell
Fabregas.
Or you could just tell us what you're doing now.
Oh, what, in general in life?
Yeah, Joss, you?
Nothing.
You've got a film out, Joss.
I've got stuff I really need to promote. Yeah, I made a film in lockdown. Because I was going to do an Edinburgh show.
Oh, we all forget the films when we're in lockdown.
I turned, because I was going to do an Edinburgh show, and then I adapted it into a film, and it's now on sale on Go Faster Strike.
It's really good.
Tom is in it. Tom has a little voice role in it.
Yeah, interestingly, it was a real moment that Joss wanted to talk about.
And then
and Tom Dell and I were both there at this moment. And he remembered it with us the other way around.
I swapped the roles.
I played Tom Bell in it.
Plays Tom Bell. So if you go on my website, which is josnorris.co.uk, or Go Faster Stripes website, then you can find it there. And if you'd like to download it, that would be lovely.
All right. Tom, what are you doing?
I am at
this
the God.
With me.
Yes, this. This
Tom's accidentally become the co-presenter of it.
crying about the lack of gigs. That's what I'm mainly doing. Praying to Thoth, the Egyptian god of something.
I like that one. He's got a long beak, I think.
Is he the god of magic?
Probably.
That's in a religion that's due for a comeback.
Yeah,
like
actually,
the Egyptians, because it's all like paganism is very cool right now. I think you're onto something.
Lots of cool characters.
Yeah, yeah. And unlike the sort of Norse mythology, it doesn't have any far right connotations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The next Netflix original,
right. I am investing in some hieroglyphics lessons. Do you know a college that could teach me hieroglyphics?
I can bash one together in an afternoon. Easy.
But if you want to follow me, I'm at Turley God across the internet.
And great.
Well, famously, I'm now a Chandler.
Ah, yes.
So stand-up comedy humour no longer exists, so I've retrained.
I'm a Phoebe.
You so are.
Now, I sort of sit by candlelight with my little candles.
I make candles.
That's my life now. I make candles. I'm living my 19th century dream life.
That what do you make them out of? Wax.
Well, very good question. Soy wax.
Ooh. Ethical. Or
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Sounds good.
As long as you're making candles. Yeah.
Do you know any candlestick makers?
What, when I look in the mirror, I know one.
Oh,
look at me.
So lots of people have been doing baking during lockdown. Do we know anyone who became a butcher?
Right, so the scores. So, Cronny, you got done, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
So you inherited Tom's points. And and so you're on 17.
Sounds like a lot.
Tom, you inherited Jules's points and you're on 23. Ooh. And Jules, you took Gronya's points and I agreed with you. That was a good story. So I doubled it, which took you to 26, which makes you the winner.
Thank you very much. Yeah. We're all winners, I think. I think we all
apart
did
from the
really
people who
well.
Didn't win.
Yeah.
Apart from those people.
Yeah.
Thank you for playing and thank you all for listening. And you're now all free to go. I'll unlock the door. Thanks for listening. There will be a new episode with new competitors and new balls every Friday. If you like what you've heard, I've been Vix Layton and this is Comedy Arcade. Please tell all your friends, rate the show and hit subscribe. And if you didn't like it, I've been Catherine Boathart and Sarah Keyworth and this was You'll Do.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.